Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to our first call in a new meridian. We're heading into the Daimo Meridian, and we're working with transforming fear into practical, healthy action. So, really excited to get going with all of that. As we settle in for today, I just want to let you know that all the good work on the sort of throat neck area has actually opened up some interesting things for me. It's got my posterior respiratory airways unwinding and stretching into to new, it seems, places where they've never been able to relax into before. And as a result of that, there's actually been some clearing out of some old mucus and some things. So that's just all really information that's letting you know that if you hear me cough, that couldn't have been better times. I'm actually not sick at all. There's literally just some lengthening and extension and some things going through the posterior airways, which has actually led for some detoxing out of my upper lobes and my lungs. So I know that that's in the works there and right on cue, of course, for all of the seasonality that we're in. It just seems to be appropriate for all that's unwinding through my system right now. So you may hear a little bit of coughing, but I've got all my tea and I actually feel great. I'm not sick at all. But you're going to hear just a little bit of old stuff coming out of there on occasion as we navigate through it today, I would imagine. Okay. So as we settle in, I'm going to invite you to make your way to a nice, quiet, cozy place where you can either sit or lay and be undisturbed for the session today. Beginning here, perhaps by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. Every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that feels pleasant, at the very least neutral, taking a moment to savor that, to drink that in. To perhaps even receive it for the nourishment that it very well may be. Then I'm going to invite you to take a moment to either scan outward or inward, if that feels better. And as you scan, looking for anything in particular, again, that's pleasant, to the very least neutral. And as you land on that thing, invitation to notice what it is you like the most about it. And as you take in what's most pleasant, what you like the most about this, receiving it to savor it. And beginning to notice what happens inside of you as you take this in this way today. What else seems to happen inside of you? And particularly noticing the pleasant and neutral impacts of that. And then taking a moment to savor that as well. And taking in all that's beautiful here. As you drink that all in, I'll offer you these words. Thank you for being here and bringing all of you to the table. And thank you to all that's gone into this sweet, precious moment of being able to gather in these ways. Thank you to your families, your ancestors, your lineages, and the villages that we have in a different sense today that support us. Thank you to all that have caretaken and stewarded this land that's provided deep nourishment for us all to get to receive and for us to continue to grow and prosper from. Thank you. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Blessings on your journey today. And as we settle into today's session, turning off with lymphatic circulation, which helps to clear those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. And this is really common to see with Daimo stuff, as Daimo patternings, or Daimo meridian patterns, involve a lot of liver, gallbladder information, and that can also tie into a tendency towards low self-esteem. And with the low self-esteem and with this lymphatic circulation, we're actually going to be flushing it through the Daimo meridian itself. So let's talk briefly about the Daimo meridian. It's the only meridian that runs around the body. It actually goes around the waist, roughly where you would wear a belt. So it's often referred to as the belt line meridian or the belt meridian. And this belt meridian, imagining almost in a sense that what happens if you put on like a belt that's like too tight, it creates constriction and energy flow between our lower body, our upper body. In women and in men, that can lead to a distribution of energy that gets trapped in various different ways. So for women, and this isn't necessarily like broad brushstrokes here, right? This isn't necessarily the only way it shows up. But for those of us in the female form, we tend to notice if this Daimo meridian gets constricted, that females tend to end up with a frailer upper body and more energy trapped in their lower system. So they end up with more of a rounder, curvier hip bottom area. In men, it can often be the opposite, where the sort of like the belt cinches, but they end up with more of the, I think of it as like the politician pot belly, where there's all this extra energy hanging out above the belt line. And all of that energy that's sort of stagnant in that region is constricted or held up in a way by the constriction below with the Daimo meridian. So it presents a little difference. Not uncommon to seeing things like liver and gallbladder stuff arise as it ties in very closely to those meridians, and liver and gallbladder points all are also quite influential for it. So there's a couple in particular, and we'll see those as we get into things. Now, it's also said that a Daimo meridian pattern stuff tends to go hand in hand with a very interesting way of trapping our emotions or repressing our emotions. So this is a very interesting pattern to me, as it's been one that I've danced with for about 20 years or so, and I have all the love for Dr. John Veltheim as being probably my main source as helping me to navigate these journeys. And I know he was likely no stranger to some of these realms himself. So I always think fondly of our dearly departed, recently departed founder of Body Talk. So as we work with these all, lymphatic circulation through this Daimo meridian, we're going to simultaneously work with, in particular, that area where the Daimo meridian goes through that low back. And that low back region, it looks just a little extra like whoosh, tight, almost like there's a button in the low back just grabbing onto it and cinching things all the way back there. So as we work with this, in a way almost like a belt buckle, but in the back of the body there, we're just simply going to, as the lymphatic circulation runs, unbuckle that belt and loosen it up a little bit, unwind some connective tissue. As we do so for that region of the back body, running hydration, helping these cells to take in water and joy and release any particular impurities that just don't need to be here anymore. And as it unwinds, I'm actually seeing it release old patterns held in particular around self-value, as it relates in particular to abundance and wealth, and not necessarily wealth in the financial region, although that can definitely be in the mix here, but also wealthiness and like having good wealth in terms of health in our material of our body. So working with it in like a very earthy matter kind of a way. What kind of richness of health and prosperity inwardly can we relate to conceptually? And as this gets invited in this way, linking it through to sixth house, as this is the house of practical action. And interesting, in this house, I just hear the belief system of, I don't know what to do here. Almost like there's a barrier to insight. And on that note, we're actually heading up to the eyes, all three of the eyes. Sorry, two human eyes and the third eye. And I'm present to almost like this, well, almost like a stone wall in front of it. And having a sense almost of being willingly blinded. So these are blinders not necessarily placed or forced on by anybody else, but more so the blinders that we place on ourselves, our own limitations, to not necessarily see a way through as easily as we could be. To not necessarily have that vision be as open as it might be available to you. And what I'm seeing in the wall that's keeping that trapped is again this theme of low self-esteem, low self-value. As we work with it, there's also a consciousness of safety that's associated with all of that. So there's this idea of, as long as I think poorly of myself, I'll be safe enough. As long as I think in low self-esteem types of terms, then others won't find me threatening and they'll take care of me. I just have to be in a mode of constantly criticizing myself or being in self-deprecation. Or in a way, you could even tie in, for those of you that resonate to this, the patterns of false humility that we use, much like self-deprecation. So as we see this wall and all of those themes that are interwoven through it, I actually just see the wall turn into a cement brick wall. So there's now all the patterns are interwoven through the lines and the intersectionality points of the bricks. And as we work with it, I just see that wall gently in my imagination transforming into I'm going to call it the fabric of space and time. It has another name, and Indra's web, I believe, is the fancy name for it. And it just refers to basically the fabric of all that's held within the relative world. And as we see this in a way become a little bit more spacious between us and this wall, giving us potentially a new perspective, sort of like the work we did maybe last session, two sessions ago, where there was the bird's eye view. It's as if there's more space between the eyes and whatever seems to be blocking this vision, if I could put it into more simple terms. And as we offer more space here, unhooking a bundle of belief systems around the theme of this is your burden to carry, this is your vision to have to be limited by or be trapped by. And as those release, to continue to open up that space, we're releasing this underlying belief system with it that this entrapment was a way in which you were held in safety. And it looks like it's connected to ancestral lines. 3 generations on mom's side, 4 generations on dad's side back, that have slowly learned over time that the smaller you keep yourself, the safer you'll be. And in one sense, that might be true, but on a broader scale, if we never actually dare to branch out again, we end up creating other problems around safety too. So as we unhook these bundle of belief systems in these ways, it's interesting that it's linking now into the heart, and specifically into the toroidal field, the double torus energy field that gets formed from the heart. And that double torus field allows for a general sense of deep harmony to flow in a very large, big way, as the heart's energy field is 60 to 100 times bigger than any other energy flow. And I actually see that same sort of webbing, that Indra's web pattern, held in the energy field of the heart. And it's just gently being able to dissolve any blockages or any walls that are held in front of the eyes, all three of them. And as the walls begin to harmonize, begin to dissolve, begin to soften in their way, I see the wall become almost like a vaginal canal, like a portal that begins to open, and through it, there's the opportunity to be reborn as we link this now into house eight. House eight being the house of death and rebirth, and then also with that regeneration to come alive again. Yeah, maybe it's a good thing as we release, let go, let die away the old, so we can step into the new nourishment that's available, that's here. And as we supportively allow for this eighth house journey, if you will, to take us through rebirthing into this new place, this new field, without necessarily those old limiting blockages around the eyes. What can we see? What's new? What's possible here? I see this as almost like veils or curtains being parted around the eyes, and as we do so, unwinding the connective tissue of the sphenoid, which was almost like placing almost like blunt force trauma, kind of in a way, a pressure on the eyes and the nerves. And as we unwind the sphenoid to take the pressure off and move the sphenoid back towards the back of the skull again, there's even more space for this vision to be seen, or vision to see even more breadth and even more depth. As we open up the vision into taking in new dimensions, in a way, it takes out the flatness of life, the flat affect, the 2D sort of vision that I want to say can have a tendency to be a little bit limiting. And as it opens up into this sort of 3D capacity, it opens up again possibilities to be taking in information about yourself. It doesn't have to involve the low self-esteem patterns that were being held here previously. And as we open up the sphenoid, we're going to also open up where the sphenoid joins onto the basilar region of the occipital bone, the SB joint, the SB junction. And as that unwinds, the sphenoid bone begins to actually free up its connective tissue around all of its edges. And it's often referred to as the God bone, the master bone. And as it's becoming liberated and free all the way around its perimeter, I see it softly being able to actually not just move towards the back of the skull, but being able to more dynamically respond and shift to what it is you're seeing, what it is you're taking in your world. What if we didn't have to just look at life through the lens of fear? And as the sphenoid becomes loosening up, loosening, as the sphenoid becomes loose, there we go. I actually see a lot of fear releasing from the region where the sphenoid bone was placing tension on the eyes, on the vision. And as that lifts, in particular on the left side, I'm seeing quite a bit of lifting happening. The right side becomes a little bit more stable and clear, just automatically. Excuse me. And as we work with this, It's all linking into house 12, house of surrendering, house of allowing. House of Neptune, house of inspiration and spontaneity. I see it as opening up again the vision to be taking in now what's inspirational, what brings new life. To inspire means literally to breathe in new. And as we work with what we're breathing in, what we're breathing into, what is it you want more of? And as we cultivate this through the lens of the house 12 energy, it's really a surrendering and allowing that transforms nicely and easily into house 1, which actually is the house of also surrender through the lung meridian in its own way. And as we work with this, working with the liver house 12 energy, last point on that is liver 14. You can think of this as like the very last point of house 12. But for those of us that have studied module 6 in body talk, all of the houses have sub-houses, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way up to 12. So think of this as dealing with house 12, sub 12, liver 14 points, which is one of the more influential points for the stability of the diamond meridian. And as we work with this, running the permissions, it's safe to feel the good things in life now. It's safe to take in the good things in life. And then linking all that all the way through to lung 1 point, the beginning of the beginnings. And as you work with these new possibilities, it's an opportunity to surrender into what's here. We very rarely start off new things knowing all the answers, knowing what to do, having a plan, having, you know, all the information. New beginnings tend to involve a certain amount of surrender, a certain amount of being willing to die, to work with that energy of, I don't have quite the right wording, but the vision that I'm seeing is of this recycling of the earth and the dying away of what seems to be almost like old poisonous toxicity stuff that actually gets recycled by Mother Earth and transformed into possible new growth. And as it sets the stage for this to be seeded, running a body chemistry. Interestingly enough, I haven't really seen it come up this way for the entire spine, no small thing. Okay, as we work with this, supporting the immune system. And it's looking at intolerances, specifically to that of fear. And it's as if fear was creating like a low-level chronic inflammation throughout the entire spine, making it just a little challenging at times to feel the strength, the backbone, the chutzpah, the confidence. So as we work with this, we're actually linking it into the solar plexus chakra to support that out, to help that out a little bit more. And as this body chemistry continues to support, working with its role in specifically now acceptance, as we work with the immune system, supporting and accepting the resiliency, the strength, the power, the length that's available here in your spine. And then as we do that, as the spine lengthens, running hydration for any areas that are ready to open up to receive it. As the spine lengthens, the front body may open, the back body may begin to have more tone to support that openness. And as we run hydration in general for front body to open and for back body to have sufficient tone to support that. Taking in water and joy and releasing again any impurities that just don't need to be here. And I see this as becoming Fairly full spinal unwinding now, all the way through. And then I see the spine just spontaneously start to shake, and if that feels right, feel free to do it. And as it shakes, it's almost the image I have is of a tree shaking off the last little bits of a spring thaw. And as it shakes off that spring thaw, releasing any frozen bits of fear. I'm bringing in the planetary energy of the sun to support that melting away of any last little bits of frozenness. And I see the sun is actually coming down right from the very top of the head, going all the way through chakra by chakra, through to the tailbone, all the way through to the base of the spine. Melting and continuing to take out what I'm going to call a deep freeze or a very deep fear response, some pattern of holding still so you don't get into trouble. And right through the very core of that seems to release really old terror in the form of the belief system, if I move, I'll die. If I take action, I'll die. And as we get into this, it's really, really old, deep core fear. Interesting. It almost is as thin as a needle and as sharp as one, too. And as we work with this, the sharpness, it seems to carry the information of, let me find the words again. So this incredibly sharp needle, there we go, I have them, is carrying the belief system of one wrong move, take one wrong step, and it's all over. Make one wrong move, take one wrong step, and it's all over. I see this as actually releasing generations upon generations of abuse, whether that was physical, mental, emotional. But all those times in which you were met with fear and intimidation versus love when you were scared, being on the receiving end of that and it landing as abuse. All the way through any phase of life from age 8 and under, all the way through to the moment of conception. And as we work with this early childhood pattern of fear and intimidation being passed down through the generations, hurt people hurting hurt people hurting hurt people, as this unwinds, handing back all of that pain and suffering. All the way through the generations, back and back, until it reaches source itself. And I see the energy of source itself beginning to enter that really thin needle sliver of terror points. And it begins to soften the sharpness and it melts away any excess metal elements energy here. And as it takes out the sort of metal, taking out the sting, the grief that goes with this simultaneously, I see fire come alive. And as we move from metal to fire in this way, it's got the energy of it's safe to let that fire you have inside, that passion you have aside, light up again. It's safe to take action, to take that step forward, to take that risk, take that thing that you've been thinking about potentially doing and moving forward with it. It's safe to open and expand. And as we work with opening up, that might include the physical body, the mental body, the emotional body, the spiritual body, or any other form of you. potentially all of them. Maybe there was no difference. And as they're all invited to open, to burn just a little bit brighter, I see the heart chakra animates and spark and will come alive just a little bit more richly, invitating, almost like it's inviting or invitating, if you will, all of the other chakras to do the same. And as they begin to burn brightly, as the fire element becomes just a little bit more brighter, lighter, there's a luminosity that begins to spread from the very central line all the way out in very soft radiance, like a candlelight being lit at the very center of you. And its glow reaching out to the very edges, the very skin, the Wei Qi, all of the energy fields that surround you. And as you're held in this light, in a cocoon of lights, it's as if the radiance of the sun is emanating from the heart. In a very soft, gentle, nourishing way, calling forth all of your fullest potential life expression. And in the face of that, I see the entire Daimo meridian begin to drop in a way that the front of the hips, the front of the hip bones, begin to more readily drop down towards the feet. And the back of the pelvis begins to just subtly lift up. And as this opens up, lengthening the iliopsoas muscle, releasing fear from both sides of the hip simultaneously. Releasing in particular the energy of shyness, the energy of holding back or repressing our feelings, our true feelings. And in particular, expressions around love or expressions around endearment. I'm running the permissions here. It's safe to open to love. It's safe to open to love. And as the hips begin to open and receive and open to love in this way, that holding point in the back body where there was that sort of button that I mentioned at the very beginning and the center of the Daimo meridian, where roughly around the lumbar 2 region there. I begin to see that actually completely release and dissolve, and in its wake, there is a thin black hole that I'm seeing. And as I notice the black hole, it's carrying with it black hole, well, what I think black hole energy carries, which is endless potential of energy. And there's a lot of things we could tie into the black hole, so feel free if you have a particular resonance to black hole energy to invite in that consciousness as well. And as we use this now, this energy in our back body for energy, we're linking it to that lumbar 2, lumbar 3 region of the Ming Men, bladder 23, governing vessel 4 points that hang out here. This is the pilot light of your body. And in essence, I see this as allowing for what the pilot light is taking in to more readily be expressed. It's almost like as the pilot light was taking it in, it was immediately getting like squashed. And it wasn't able to take in energy from its environment, never mind limitless potential energy from its environment. And as we open up the door now to the Ming Men, there's a little bit more house cleaning to do here. We're going to run a defrag on it, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out the clutter that doesn't need to be here, and what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. And that in turn is linking into house 12, again, that house of surrendering, allowing, peeling back the layers of who it is you are not. And I see this as in particular releasing from that area where the black hole was, what was there before, the last little remnants of any low self-esteem and any remnants of low self-value, low self-worth. And as that begins to burn up in these ways, I see the entire rhythmic tone of the spine as it responds to the rhythm of your breath begin to undulate in a way that almost looks like a sea creature, like a jellyfish, perhaps, or some sort of like aquatic marine life, being able to have suppleness all the way through their entire spine in ways that we actually might not physically be able to tap into, but we sure can energetically. And as we work with the energy of that pulsation, as the spine becomes even more richly alive, it's as if every single space between the vertebrae has its own little black hole. And I'm seeing it first light up on the right side, giving access to, again, fullest potential of expression of vitality and energy and anything else that you associate with the black hole. And as that goes all the way through the right side, this is really cool. I'm actually seeing, well, it's the shape of a black hole, but it's actually showing up as white light on the left side. So there's black all the way up the right side of the spine in the spaces between the vertebrae and just to the side of the intervertebral disc. And on the left side, there's these white holes. Very cool. And as these come alive, I'm seeing the right side as it gains strength to be able to support your spine in its fully elongated alignment, that the left side continues to nourish that all, and it continues to have space to be supported by the right side to allow for that nourishment to happen in a way forming masculine feminine balancing, or yang and yin. And as they come together in this particular form of union, all the way up the entire length of the spine, it's linking the adrenal glands at the base-ish of the spine, a little, well, not quite that low, a little higher up in our low back, all the way up to the pineal gland of the crown at the top. And as adrenals and pineal come together in this way, linking into the essence of all that they secrete through all the various chemicals and substances, in particular the hormones, but we're including everything else known and unknown about these guys, as we're, well, still really learning a lot about some of them. And as we balance out adrenals and pineal glands, it seems that the adrenals are like these, like teenage boys, and the pineal gland is this wise elder, grandfatherly type of wisdom. And as it gets to receive wisdom, as it navigates its way all the way up to the very top of the spine, it gets to grow up as it this energy connection traverses from adrenals to pineal, essentially utilizing most of that pathway of the spine. And as this back body is getting some attention, we're actually bringing in all yang, all masculine energy through your entire back, and representing in particular the consciousness of feeling protected, like someone has your back, someone may be able to provide, protect, etc. And the energy of what that's like, what that has been like, the time when you've received it. Even when you may not have even been able to take it in the moments, bringing in those times in which there was adequate support in that way, and linking it through to governing vessel 14 at the base of your C7 vertebrae, the base of your neck, right before it joins onto that rib cage. This governs all things yang, all things around taking action. And again, here, working with the permissions, it's safe to move forward. And we're linking that, interestingly enough, into the heart meridian on the right side to be able to literally reach forward into the future, reach forward into the new, reach forward into potentially even the unknown. is there's resources, there's safety enough to be able to do that now. We don't have to hold still in those old deep frozen ways that were present before. And as it's safe to move forward, to reach out, what is it you want to reach out for? And if you feel drawn to, you can literally even take your right arm, reaching out in a way that may even extend in particular all the way through the pinky finger. That might involve rotating through your arm so that the pinky finger stretches out to the upper right-hand corner of the room even. And any other movements that feel natural that want to come through the arm, I invite you to reach out and imagine that you can grab that thing and then pull it back into you. And then reach out again. Grab that thing. And then the pulling back into you is the other part to pause on potentially as you receive it. To take a moment to notice what it's like to have it and to receive this nourishment. And then reaching out. No need to cling to it. There's more. There's more. Inviting that in and drinking that in. And as you richly receive without having to cling, it invites in this new cycle of capacity to receive, capacity to be worthy enough to receive in particular. Yeah. And as we work with that, it's bringing in the consciousness of feminine receptivity in particular. And although the right hand arm is masculine in nature and is likely the side that's more prone to taking action, part of taking action is also balanced by the capacity to receive the results of that action and to appreciate them, to taking that nourishment enough to be able to go out and take even more nourishing action. And as we essentially create this new upward spiral, this upward cycle of receiving nourishment and taking action, to be able to go after even more. Linking it into house five, house of pleasure, play, house of creativity. What if that all got to be something that even played out in a way that didn't even feel like work, that it actually got to feel like you were playing, much like a small child might enjoy time in those ways, or perhaps that you did as a little one. And that in turn is linking into house 10, house of career, achievement, recognition, and house of outward self-expression. And I invite you, just take a moment to breathe and pause here. And as we are hanging out in house 10, taking a moment to potentially even appreciate yourself and what it is you've gone after in the past and what's worked well. And then invitation to, as you're breathing with that all, to drink in any part of that feels good in those memories. And imagine that you can take that into how it is you may outwardly express yourself moving forward. And we're linking that all into the entire side body on the right side, the entire gallbladder meridian. And here we're releasing shame, shame around times in which maybe you thought you didn't do as good as you could have. Maybe shame around times in which you did something from a certain level of understanding, then you gained a new understanding, and then you were like, oh shoot, I told all my clients that, 10 years ago, this is what I was telling everybody and how to do it, and now I know this, and or any other form of shame that might be related to what it is you offer in the work that you do. And that includes all the work and all the roles that we play, whether it's 9-to-5 type of work, side hustle work, homework, yard work, the work of being in a relationship, in a partnership, the work of raising children, the work of tending to a home, all of that. And as we work within that all, that entire framework, running again another round of hydration, interesting, drinking in water and joy and releasing any impurities. And we're doing it for the entire left side of the body, the entire feminine side. And as we hydrate the feminine energy, it's bringing in specifically the qualities of radiance, luminosity, as a form of adornment that doesn't have to involve clothing, jewelry, makeup, but adorning the inner energetic riches of you. And I see this as going beyond survival mode into thrive mode. Beautiful. And I'm present to in that pause. I wasn't sure how it was coming in exactly. It wasn't a link. It turns out it's just a satellite. I'm present to you, and satellites, I haven't maybe spoken to what those are in a long time, are things that inform the body talk session and aren't necessarily direct links, but they have almost like satellites sort of circulating our planet and influence on them nonetheless. And this particular satellite is of a story, and it's of the myth, and the myth is the descent of Inanna. And the descent of Inanna, she actually adorns, she has several adornments, seven of them in particular. And in this myth, I won't go into the whole story, although it's definitely worthwhile to check out, is at every gate that she traverses in the underworld where she's gaining entrance to her sister's husband's funeral, I believe, she must take off one of her adornments. And the idea is, without those adornments, she wouldn't have been able to make the journey in the underworld. In other words, in its most potentially simplified form, without adequate nourishment, rituals, practices, strengthening of the internal energies, there is often more challenging traversals of the times in which we're called to do more of the shadow work type of our lives, or times in which life gets extra glitchy, and you get called to look a little deeper into the soul of yours and see what's really here. So as we work with that essence of from survival to thrive, it's also including being able to give the body sufficient resources to traverse those hard times, giving it a source, a pool of energy from which to draw. In the Chinese medicine terms, we could call this, in essence, stocking up the jing, restoring the jing in a way, replenishing the jing. And as we work with this form of replenishment, this deep, deep replenishment, linking it through to the sacrum to literally be able to take this in at a foundational level and to have this be a new foundation from which to come from. What if this could become a habit to becoming to life from a resource replenished place? What if? What if those pieces of low self-esteem and self-value were the only things blocking being able to come to your essence of you, your feminine essence, as much as your masculine capacity to take action from a place of replenishment? And with that, we're linking the entire breath all the way through the spine. And although related to the other work where we link the spine to the rhythm of the breath, this is more linking in all the nourishment, the oxygen, the energy that gets carried through the breath, far more than oxygen itself, through to every single vertebrae. Some people liken the breath to that of your connection to spirit, to universe, to God, whatever your word may be, to that which is eternal. If we can imagine drinking that in every single breath and offering it to every single vertebrae, including all the vertebrae of the sacrum, the tailbone, including even not just the bones of the spine, but also even the last bone of the skull there, the occipital bone, and potentially even the other skull bones, as that will ripple through the occiput bone eventually in its own way. And including in here also the connection all the way through to that sphenoid bone, the master bone, the god bone, and the entire spinal complex in essence here. I see it as really filling up that space where that really core terror was. And filling up again that spark of fire, but doing it in a way where that breath can come in and constantly fan the flames of that fire to keep this fire burning bright and light. And as the source of energy of, well, eternal replenishments is here, I see again the need to cling or any need to be cautious in hanging on to, what we have and not wasting it, as ready to melt away so that way even more can come in and be received. Much like you guys have probably heard me use this a fair amount over the years, for those of you who've been here, but that much like the analogy of the Confucius vase and apple, where hard to receive the apple if you are putting your hand into the vase to grab the apple, and the vase now is too tight around your wrist to be able to get the apple out. However, if we tip over the vase, the apple can land into an open hand. So I see this as moving from closed fist to open hand energy all the way through your system in its midline. And as it does so, and in particular in that low back region right around L2 where that diamond meridian was crossing past, begins to even more so expand in a way where I actually see the diamond meridian transform into this like circle of fire in a good way as it takes. With the other work that we were doing with the elements of fire, and it begins to adopt this spark, this passion, this light through the daimon meridian, releasing old fear again around going to a place of being overly cautious and overly hanging, clinging, hanging on, hanging tight type of energy. And as that releases, I actually see your entire back body be able to drop and settle into the earth below in a grounded way. And it begins to have an easier time to actually be able to move forward, to be active, to, as the masculine energy does, have an interest in providing on all levels, whether that be physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, or anything else. And as the masculine becomes more nourished through this connection in this earth, this grounding energy, it actually is more that it can provide the front body, the maternal, the feminine, I should say, although maternal's in the mix there. And as that opens up the front body, the conception vessel meridian in that midline also begins to extend in the same elongation pattern that the spine was doing, even more richly now. And as that opens up, linking it into house 12. This time, working with the planetary energy of Jupiter. For its role in growth and expansion into what your aspirations are. Well, again, what is it you want more of? And for whatever reason, we're linking again this entire right side of the body, where we've been a few times on the side body, that gallbladder meridian line in particular, to the consciousness of innocence. And then it's working with the capacity to enter new beginnings from a place of innocence without having to hang on to all those old belief systems, experiences, and allowing for the future to be different. And running that permissions. I welcome changes. I welcome changes. And as you welcome changes, linking this now into earth elements, as this works with inviting in changes that provide peace, that bring in a taste of sweetness to your life, that bring in even more nourishments, even more nurturing. What if going after what it is you want could actually provide nourishments, not depletion? What if? I'm going to top this part out here, invitation to breathe and receive. Oh, very cool. I was seeing the next part come in already. And to integrate this all, we're working with body chemistry on a microbe level, working with all the microbes. And as we do so, working in particular with acceptance of the vibrancy of your own microbiome. And as we strengthen the health of your microbiome in a way, it helps to eliminate the populations of the not so desirable bacteria, viruses, etc., and building up. So it's a general like immune system support in a way, and it's also creating this fertilized ground of vibrancy, fertile ground of vibrancy. And as the body chemistry runs in this way, linking it through the entire immune system, as defined by the consciousness of grief. And particularly, it's the grief around the sense of potentially losing a layer of your individualized sort of ego construct. And as that falls away, whatever parts that are ready to, linking it into all five, six senses for awareness. Into the heart for releasing, for harmonizing, and for individuating or peeling back the layers of who it is you are not. And then we're linking that into the entire pathway between mouth and anus and your entire digestive system, where most of your immune system hangs out. Running the permissions here. It's safe to be sensual now. It's safe to be sensual now. And I just see this linking into the essence of a newborn babe. And every maternal instinct in me is just drawn to offer these words, even though it might not make any sense at this juncture. Welcome, welcome. We're so glad you're here. What a gift it is to have you here. And as this essence of newborn energy gets welcomed, gets received, if you have any words that fall in alignment with that essence of welcoming a new little one to the world that feel right to you, I invite you to offer it. And I give thanks for that opportunity to get to receive this new energy in this way. Give thanks that I get to receive what's being born anew in each and every one of you. It's a beautiful thing to bear witness to. linking that all into the sense of sights with all three eyes and being able to take in new growth, new possibilities, new life here with the innocence of a newborn. With a wide open front body. In a place that's protected and safe, where there's enough resources being provided. So much so that there's abundance, there's nothing to cling to. It's just this opportunity to grow and delight in the sensual body. In a sensual mind of nourished, resourced energy that can light you up from the inside out. Invitation to breathe and receive as we tap this part out here. As we bring this in for a nice soft landing. I did have about 7 songs to choose from, but given the energy where the session went today, I'm going to play the song. It's actually called Newborn. And the artist is Stimming X Lambert. The album is called Positive, and it's about a 4-minute song. I invite you to stay right where you are if this feels good. If any part of you feels like it could use just a little bit more nourishment, I invite you to bring in that resource that you found earlier and breathe that in and be with that for these next few minutes. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining today, whether you're live or listening to the recording. Thank you for being you, and thank you for calling this medicine in. Mwah. Have yourselves a fabulous rest of your day and week ahead, and I look forward to seeing you in a week. I had a question if there was any weeks off for Christmas, but I think that our schedule is around the 21st and 28th, so know that there's no interruptions in our weekly schedule for Christmas and or the holiday season. So it'll be full steam ahead, which I'm really happy about. I really love getting to provide support, as I know holiday season isn't always the favorite for everybody. And you're most welcome. I'm really glad that it was helpful to have me share at the beginning. I got a comment on that I was explaining something that they were feeling in their own body. So glad that was helpful. All right, my loves. Any other questions, comments, queries? As always, I'm available, and you're always welcome to stick around afterwards if you need any additional one-on-one support. Just let me know. Okay. Mwah. Bye for now, loves.